This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening. You are listening to Lee Chui Lin and Uma Bagan Ampike Bagan. This is the evening edition. And for our last story of the day, a long-running discussion at this point with a new update. So Batukawan MP Kasturi Pato has come out to say that the government is expected to end executions for drug-related offences first. And I thought this was interesting because the last time we had a discussion on the death penalty, or rather the abolition of the death penalty on the show, a lot of the responses that came back were deeply concerned about how this would affect people, drug offenders, basically, because I guess there is a long-running understanding or notion that drugs ruin lives, and drug pushers don't just ruin their own lives, but that of others. And
so we kill them.
Yeah, exactly.
So we kill them all.
And now, so I found this statement pretty interesting.
No, I completely agree with this statement. I mean, it's got to be pointed out that Kasturi Pato has been a vocal advocate for the abolition of death penalty. And, you know, we're not sure when the amendment's actually going to be tabled, but it feels like everyone at least is on the same page. We heard earlier in Parliament from a representative from Amnesty, if I'm not mistaken, who was talking about, well, you know, there's a lot of this faux outrage as to why this feels very rushed, when actually the BN government had been talking about this for a very long time as well. So it feels like some opposition members are making noise for the sake of it. But the idea that we think that it's a deterrent to drug pushing and drug habits has been proven wrong, in the sense that, you know, how well has it served us so far? The death penalty actually hasn't cured or solved the drug problem. It is still very, very bad.
Do you know what the problem with that is? Even hearing you say it, I can hear how, I guess, the public, the long-running idea, the long-running public perception of the war on drugs, it doesn't support what you just said.
Correct.
You know, the idea that, look, we'll scare you straight, right?
Yes.
That has been something that's so ingrained in us that I think, for me personally, even though I don't at all support capital punishment, there is still this notion in the back of my head of, well, is it not an effective deterrent?
Isn't even that though, what we were taught?
Yeah. Even though I know it to be untrue.
And it's propaganda, right?
I mean,
you've seen that Tom Cruise movie, American Made, Lynn. I mean, even that gives you a warped sense of history. But one part in that movie that was very, very true was, of course, what the Reagans were doing with the drug war. And it started off as political propaganda that turned out to be emulated by the rest of the world with regards to how do we fight the war on drugs? We scare them. We say we're going to kill them. You know, we put this hanging over their head and hopefully they will stop.
So we're crossing over now to Kasturi Pato herself, MP for Batukawan, who has, as we said, been an outspoken opponent against the death penalty, also the secretary for the Malaysian chapter of the Parliamentarians for Global Action Coalition. And as we've said, she was quoted saying that the government is expected to abolish the death penalty for drug-related offences first. So let's see. YB, thank you so much for joining us. Let's first explore this statement that it's a tough job for the government to abolish the death penalty. Why is that the case?
Okay, so first we must know and understand that the movement to abolish the death penalty isn't something new. Much senior MPs have been lobbying for it with the then Barisan National Government. At that time, just a few MPs from BN supported the movement to abolish the death penalty in its entirety. Why I say it is a challenge is that more than often, the death penalty topic is always one that the government always tends to seek public opinion, you know. And when the government generally asks, or when CSOs ask, or when even media comes up with a public opinion survey, whether the public support the death penalty or not, many times the question isn't tailor-made properly. It's not for our culture, it's not for our society, it's not for our people. It's often a yes or no, do you support the death penalty or not? And those are not the type of questions that you ask about the death penalty. So often you get askew answers. And when lawmakers like us tend to remind the government on their pledge to abolish the death penalty, this is where the government finds that it's difficult. But now, what we are looking at are the legislative... you can amend all of this on paper, but you have to think about, you know... people who have been, or prisoners who have been on death row for 10 years, for 15 years, you know, are their cases going to be reviewed? If yes, you know, whether it'll be retrospective in nature, retroactive in nature, etc. Plus, it is a journey from now till abolition of the death penalty to educate the public, to speak to the public about it, to let the public also understand why we need, as a community, as a people, as a nation, to move towards abolishing the death penalty. And it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen overnight. It took us 6 decades to change a government, you know. So definitely to abolish the death penalty will not happen overnight.
Kasturi, let's talk about the possibility of miscarriage of justice, because the death penalty is the one thing you can't overturn. Talk to us about how that applies to the drug trafficking situation when one applies Section 39B of the Dangerous Drugs Act, which refers to the death sentence.
No one can guarantee that there would be no miscarriage of justice. No government can guarantee, no court can guarantee that there would be no miscarriage of justice. So there's always a fear of executing an innocent man or an innocent woman. And as we have seen in the past, you know, as details of cases and investigations and court proceedings are revealed, there are loopholes, you know, that sometimes get, that fall through the cracks. You know, one simple example was a case where Gobind Singh, in the past, Gobind Singh defended a South Korean student. And the raiding officer admitted in court through a CCTV recording, which was used as proof, that he actually planted the drugs. And he had raided, he had conducted more than 20 raids. Now, what if it wasn't Gobind Singh there who was the lawyer grilling him in the witness dock? What if it was some other lawyer? What if he didn't break and say, yes, I admitted to planting it? Now, that South Korean boy would be on death row today. At the end of the day, the government has to commit to fighting crime. Now, we keep looking at almost every day or weekly, you know, Malaysians and even foreigners getting nabbed for drugs. And then, you know, the amount that is in their possession, you know, translates to trafficking. You know, and if you look at the statistics, it has been increasing. Over the past few years, it has increased more than 30% for people who have been nabbed under 39B in our Malaysian prisons. It has increased more than 30%. So it's clearly not a deterrent. In this case.
So the last time we spoke about this on air, we did have a few callers, and they all generally told us that they felt the death penalty should be kept for drug trafficking and that it has served as a deterrent so far. But you've disagreed that's the case. So what impact do you think abolishing the death penalty would have on our drug situation?
Well, the important thing is not just the impact of abolishing the death penalty in its entirety for 39B cases, which are drug-related offences, trafficking drugs rather. I'm looking at how reports are filed, how cases are heard. You know, and if you look at the spectrum of young boys and young girls and Malaysians and foreigners who are now serving time under 39B, they normally come from B40 families, they come from marginalized groups, they come from the minority. So I believe by doing something like this, you are indirectly serving justice to the marginalized and the downtrodden and the oppressed, who are normally the drug mules in this kind of drug-related offences. You know, in the 80s, Malaysia was a hub for drug trafficking only because of, you know, how strategically we were placed between Thailand and Indonesia. And that just carried on to the 21st century today. But for me, because I know a constituent in my constituency in Batu Kawan, a university student who was just at the wrong place at the wrong time, and today she's on death row. Her family is a B40 family, and they were very happy that the daughter was in university and got a place. And I believe it was all staged very well. She won a lucky draw prize to India, and on the way back, the agent gave her a bag, and in the bag was Indian Punjabi suits and saris, and in it was the drugs in it. So we have heard so many cases of that. Now, what happened to that person? Who put the drugs in her hand? Who put it in the bag? Who gave it to him? No one knows. But you nab her because it was in her possession. So these are things that bother me a lot. Now, how many of our young people are in because they are drug mules? You have to make sure that justice is served for young people like that, Malaysians and even foreigners alike.
So besides the need to ensure that justice is properly served, what do you think would take the place of the death penalty for drug trafficking?
No, I think punishment is due, of course, you know. But, of course, in accordance with the law, you know, courts carry out whatever's in the law, whatever's in the in criminal, in the penal code, in the Dangerous Drugs Act. So I think criminals must be punished. I just don't think they should be executed for the crimes that they have committed. So I think with the abolition of the death penalty, hopefully, in the, you know, for a start, about on drug-related offences, that we can balance that out with you know, other law reforms as well. You know, training and strengthening our courts, training and strengthening our police force, and educating the public at large.
Thank you very much, Kasturi, for sharing your perspective with us. That was Kasturi Pato, MP for Batu Kawan.
So just to put another perspective out for discussion, we've touched on this also during Popit Popit Parliament earlier today. De facto Law Minister Liu Vui Kiong said today that redefining drugs under the Dangerous Drug Offences, especially for medical use, could end up leading to a reduction in the number of inmates in our prisons, hence also lowering costs for the government.
So we've had conversations on punishment for drug use on the station before. And a year ago, we had interviewed Professor Dr. Adiba Kamarul Zaman, Dean of the Medicine Department at the University of Malaya. And she spoke about Malaysia's punitive approach, as opposed to a country like Portugal, for example, that has successfully driven down addiction numbers through an approach of decriminalizing drugs.
Those who traffic, you know, should still be punished. There's no question about that. But it's for people who are using drugs for their own consumption. And right now, our jails, our prisons in Malaysia are full of people who use drugs, and not necessarily people who are trafficking. Right? There are 35,000 to 40,000 drug users who are in Malaysian prisons right now for personal drug use. Okay, if they have committed crime, if they've maimed people, if they've stolen, if they've, you know, there's no issue. They should be in prison for that. But our laws even criminalize people, you know, when they find someone in possession of drug use, they will be put into the criminal justice system. And so, you know, you could be using some marijuana, and instead of being in a council and treated for that, you end up in jail where you may mix with people who have been in prison for much longer, who are using harder drugs, and, you know, could turn out for worse. Apart from that, once you have a prison record, you'll never be able to find a job. You'll be stigmatized. Your ties with the family are broken, etc., etc. So studies have shown that, including our own Malaysian work, has shown that putting these people on treatment, voluntary treatment, is far better than putting them behind bars, where the rate of recidivism, you know, as soon as they go out, if you don't provide them with the support, they will go back to drug use.
That was Professor Dr. Adiba Kamarul Zaman from the University of Malaya. You can listen to the whole podcast by searching the title Decriminalizing Drugs. So we've been talking about this, of course, because basically they're looking to end the death penalty, especially for drug offenders first, I suppose. That's been the message that's come out recently. Let us know what you think. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. And this is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.